working out the financial regs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Sometime this week, Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut will introduce a bill laying out his idea about how to reform America's financial system. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports Dodd's thinking is very different from what the banking industry wants.
Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd thinks the Fed should get out of the business of banking regulation. But big banks don't like that idea at all. Scott Talbot is at the Financial Services Roundtable.
We like the Fed as a regulator. We think they tend to be very rational and very thoughtful, and that is something, those are qualities that you look for in regulators.
But critics say banks and the Fed were too cozy. The Fed failed to police the mortgage market for years and didn't see this crisis coming in time to stop it. Talbot argues the Fed's changed.
They've already imposed new credit card rules. They've already proposed new overdraft rules. They're already proposing executive comp rules. And that's just in the last couple of months.
But Senator Chris Dodd and others argue the Fed has enough on its plate just managing monetary policy. And they say it needs to remain independent from politics to do that job well. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Numbers are on the plus side so far today. Shares in Europe are higher across the board right now. Markets in Asia closed up today. The Hang Seng by more than 1.5%. The Nikkei by under 1%. Despite the release of a gloomy employment report Friday, shares here at home were modestly higher. And the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ all had gains last week, more than 3%. Oil prices have inched towards $79 a barrel in Asia. That's as Hurricane Ida threatens refineries in the Gulf of Mexico. Today's the deadline for Kraft Foods to formally make an offer for British candy maker Cadbury. If Kraft doesn't make a move today, it'll have to walk away for 6 months. Analysts expect Kraft to stick close to the terms of its original $16.9 billion offer. Another deal that's been in the works now for a little while, media giant NBC and the cable behemoth Comcast. There have been rumblings for weeks that Comcast would buy a controlling stake in NBC Universal. NBC is owned by General Electric. Well, this morning there are reports that Comcast and GE have agreed to value NBC at around $30 billion. That takes us one step closer to a deal, and as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, the beginning of public scrutiny.
Comcast is already the biggest cable company in the U.S. If it took over NBC Universal, it would get control of the movie studio and the NBC TV network and stations. That worries public interest groups, including the Center for Digital Democracy. It told the New York Times the deal was the equivalent of Godzilla swallowing Rockefeller Center. The group doesn't like the fact that Comcast would have control over the production of TV programs and their distribution. Comcast could have the power to block its competitors' access to NBC shows. The deal has to get the thumbs up from federal regulators. They're waiting to see if Comcast agrees to sell 33 TV stations that are owned and operated by NBC Universal. During the presidential campaign, President Obama called for more thorough investigations of media mergers. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. American Public Media presents Workplace You, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
20 years ago today, the Berlin Wall fell, or started to fall, anyway. East Germans poured into West Germany, many for the first time ever. And on that day, a particular kind of car clogged the westbound roads, the Trabant. And Marketplace's Amy Scott reports there's now a plan to revive that car.
During communist rule, the Trabant was the cheapest and most popular East German car. Today, an old model sits in a museum in Berlin.
It's all plastic, only plastic.
That's historian Stefan Wolle. Not only was the Trabi, as it was called, made of plastic, it was cramped, spewed dirty exhaust, and broke down frequently. But Wolle says it was beloved by East Germans, who often had to wait 10 to 15 years to get one. When they finally did, it was like a part of the family.
Like a cat or a dog or so, yeah. My lovely Trabi, yeah.
After the wall fell, East Germans could buy any car they wanted. Demand for the Trabi evaporated. But maybe not forever. Today, Herpa, a company that normally makes model cars and planes, hopes to revive the old affection. It's teamed up with manufacturer IndyCar to bring back the Trabi, this time as an electric car. IndyCar CEO Ronald Gierszewski shows me the prototype he debuted at the Frankfurt Auto Show this fall. It's a shiny powder blue. Looks a bit like a longer version of another retro car, Britain's Mini.
Is that grip for opening? You have an opening.
I just pulled off some paneling. It is just a prototype. Gierszewski hopes a sturdier version will hit the roads in the next 3 years or so. He's looking for investors and a partner to mass produce the car. He says most of the interest has come from outside Germany.
We have learned that the Trabant, it's a symbol of the German reunion, and it's a very positive symbol, and it's well known all over the world.
Here in Germany, nostalgia has revived demand for some old communist brands. But in the wider world, retro cars like the new VW Beetle and the PT Cruiser have failed to catch on. Without an experienced car maker backing the new Trabant, one analyst told me the flop risk is very high. In Berlin, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a good chance you work with someone on a recent list of the most annoying coworkers. A survey by the staffing firm Randstad USA asked employees what their biggest annoyances on the job are. They answered overwhelmingly with types of people they work with, such as the cracker who's loud in everything they do, slurping coffee, chewing gum, loud on the telephone. There's the tapper who's always tapping away on those smartphones while a meeting's going on. And then there's the mold guy who messes up all the common areas like the kitchen and keeps things in the fridge way too long, doesn't empty out the coffee filter and leaves all his stuff thrown around, never washes it. Oh, yeah, the mold guy. He or she's annoying too, according to that survey. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.